Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me sound, shine, shine.
Live, I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Hope everybody had a nice, safe Halloween. The weekend was involved with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup Series at the Paperclip in Martinsville. NHRA was out in Las Vegas for their last race before the end of their season. And the championships are pretty much getting knocked down. Anyway, Halloween last night, all the ghouls and goblins out getting their tricks and treats. Hopefully more treats than tricks. But it's November. The end of the racing season will be in a couple of weeks. And we're going to figure out what we're going to do. The preview we're going to have is next week, when I will have the long-awaited Garage Talk Live debut of singer-songwriter Doreen Taylor. Why, may you ask? Well, a lot of people I know like her. She was living in my area, so we'll get to talk to her in the release of her new album, and she will be actually, if you're in the Philadelphia area, at Cook's Tavern for the Marine Corps birthday bash. She'll be singing the national anthem. All proceeds, if you want to go for the event, go for the Marine Corps Toys for Tots, which, you know, is for needy kids, and they do it every year. Being a Marine, it's kind of like a tradition thing, so that's how it goes, and we'll talk about that next week. Her album Stir just came out, and she had a premiere concert in Philadelphia that was a sold-out show, so we'll talk to her for, I guess, a good 30 minutes, because I have a lot to talk about. I like to talk, and we get some things that I don't know, we'll find out and introduce her to the Garage Talk Live audience. But the 17th annual Toyota Nationals at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, or the Strip at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, in the Top Fuel, came down to Steve Torrence and J.R. Todd. A couple of guys battling for the Wally before the end of the season. So the path to the final went as such. J.R. Todd had to go through Sean Langdon, Clay Milliken, who was the number one qualifier, Antron Brown, before facing Steve Torrence. Steve Torrence's path through to the final went through Richie Crampton, Doug Kalita, Leah Pritchett, who made her first semifinal appearance in a while after she did post a win earlier this year. She was the number two qualifier. And so nobody had an easy path. Torrence was the number six qualifier. So they were both in about the middle of the pack. Came down to be a good final round with J.R. Todd with a 376 with a 2 and an 061 reaction time, coming up a little short to Steve Torrence, who pulled a 373 with a 4. 323 miles per hour, 041 off the tree, 2/10, 200s, I should say. Giving him the advantage off the line as well as the quicker ET. He took the round hands down. It was still pretty close, 373, 376. Argue with that. Low ET of the weekend was Clay Milliken with posting a 368 with a 9. Best reaction time of the weekend, Steve Torrence with that 041 in the final round. And the high top speed was Todd in the semifinals versus Antron Brown with a 329 with a 0.02 miles per hour. If you think that was fast, now you figure the top fuelers are the fastest things in drag racing. Well, you would be right as far as time go, but in speed this week, things changed just a little bit. In the funny car around, it came down to a battle of the forces. Courtney and John, I tried to get them both on, but Courtney's path to the finals went up against Alexis DeJuria, who had problems off the tree, both for qualifying mid-pack. Then against Fast Jack Beckman, Ronnie Capps, the points leader, before facing her dad in the finals. John, on the other hand, went up again. He was number three qualifier. I thought he'd been number one with the speed recorded, but I'll get to that in a minute. He faced 14 John Bojack, then Chad Head, Matt Hagen, and then finally daughter Courtney. So John Force Racing was coming home with a Wally, just a matter of if it was Dad or Gordon. Whenever things get tough, John Force knows how to do it. He is the greatest drag racer of all time, 16 championships as a driver, of course, a couple more on top of that as an owner figure, course of his career. And while he's not going to win a championship this year, he's still getting it done. You figure he had to go through a complete change from going from his Castrol GT Ford Mustangs to the Chevrolet, the Peak antifreeze Chevy Camaros that his team's driving now. So they had to basically retool their whole shop, one from one manufacturer and a sponsor, and we're talking people that's been with them for years, to a new one, and hopefully a long enough relationship to where they can continue another year, another quite a few years down the road. And of course, Auto Club with Robert Height, been with him for a bit, and Traxxas with Courtney Force. So, of course, the only Force member not to be in Funny Car, Brittany Force with Monster Energy on her Top Fuel Dragster. She stayed with the Nitro. Just wanted to have a chance at winning instead of competing against her family. Like I said, this one came down to father and daughter. And in the end, it was John with a slight, I mean an ever so slight, victory over his daughter. He had a 388 with a 4, a 327.19 miles an hour, versus Courtney's 390 with a 6. Okay, Courtney got off the tree quicker, but just under, just about 0.02 of a second made the difference, even though she made up 0.01 of a second with off the light. Okay, so here's the weekend stats. Low ET the weekend, fast Jack Beckman. Number one qualifier, he ran a 387 with a 1, which first round it worked for him. He only had a 389, but he went down to Courtney in round two. A little tire issue there. You lose a little traction. You go from 3.8 into the 7 seconds. Best reaction time, John Bojek. Was first round loser to John Force. And he did it in that first round with an 0.40. But Force is, he's off the tree. I thought John was caught nabbing. He had a 0.115 reaction time. That's kind of napping there. And Bojek with the 0.40, I thought we had a shot, but Bojek turned a 5.11 with an 8. The Force's 390 with a 6, so tire issues again there. Cost you a little bit. But here's the kicker. John Force with a new record, top speed for the weekend in qualifying, 331 miles an hour. Well, almost 332. It was 331.94 miles an hour in 1,000 feet. We're not talking a quarter mile because after the death of Eric Medlin at Englishtown, they shortened the distance to get him more slowdown time, because when you're torquing that fast, imagine that. And I've seen close and personal. And if you blink, you missed something. When you're talking, going that far, which isn't far, in less than 4 seconds. Hell, I was happy when my car turned under 16 back when I last took it to a drag strip in the 80s. I have to go back to the 80s for this. It wasn't even my car. It was my wife's car. We left mine at home. We took hers because hers was the joyride machine, and we wound up down at the dragway, Atco Dragway. A friend of mine's friend rented it out. They said, just show up. So we did, and we got a chance to officially clock that car. So turned in the 15-second range. I wonder if she still has those time slips. But that was the best time turned in it. But it wasn't geared for that, so I think if I had a different rear end in it, because this was more of a 241 rear versus a 323, which would have given me more launch, which means I could have got down the quarter. Of course, it was bracket racing, so you had to dial in a certain time, and you couldn't go quicker. It's kind of weird how that works. But anyway, John Force, getting it done again, tacking another win on to his illustrious career. He must have so many trophies that he's probably given them away by now. Matter of fact, he said this one was dedicated to, he was giving it to somebody after the race yesterday. So he's got hundreds of them. Well, he's won hundreds of them. In the pro stock round, where they actually shift gears and they have doors that open, believe it or not, it's one of them vehicles that almost where, okay, you have regular street car features. I was just looking for words to put it in. Anyway, Shane Gray in the finals versus Drew Skillman. Not your usual two of Jason Lyon and Greg Anderson. They almost got there. Points leaders Anderson, Lyon and Anderson in that order. Shane Gray's path to the finals. He was fourth qualifier. Greg Anderson was the first qualifier. Jason Lyon, where did he qualify? And number six qualifier. Erica Enders qualified ninth. She wound up losing in the first round to Chris McGahey, who went up against Greg Anderson. 671 with a 4 to her 673 with a 7. Erica with a reaction of 020, which, believe me, is really good. Only McGahey with an 003, which is almost a perfect light. So he was able to not help her again. So you just have to take into the consideration of she's been, and I always throw my support her way. She's my favorite pro stock race car driver. One, she does my show a lot. She's on here more often than anybody over the course of time, whether it's John Force, who's been on the show way back in the day. I got some of them old shows. I think I ought to put them on flash drive, so I'll be able to have them for later, but back in my old WNJC days. John, Courtney, and Brittany Force. 3 straight years, Robert Height, Ashley, Larry Dixon. I mean, we're talking the first family of drag racing, basically, and then the other champions as well that have graced our airwaves. But Shane Gray up against Drew Skillman, who qualifier. Skillman, who used to be teammates with Erica Enders at Elite Motorsports, went through Shane Tucker, Elite's Vincent Nobile, and points leader Jason Lyon before coming up against Shane Gray, who is actually going to step out of the car this year. He also owns Gray Racing. And I guess we'll be putting his son in the car. And so this is, Pomona will be his final day in, well, final race in stock machine. He drives off the tree. It was a 671 with a 9 versus Drew Skillman's 1979 with a 3, which is slow. I mean, I watched it and something happened and you don't go that slow. That's kind of like coasting down the quarter mile. Pro Stock does run the quarter mile. So Shane Gray takes home the Wally and Drew Skillman is runner-up. Now, Drew has taken home the Wally the past, even as recently as the last time out. Low ET of the weekend, Jason Lyon with a 667 with a 6. In round one, just hard to believe the number one qualifier had a 667 with a 9 in round one. So that wasn't the speed that put them there. Anyway, runner-up Drew Skillman. Best reaction time was a 002 by Derek Kramer. But Chris McGahey in round one with an 003 was just a hair off. Kramer, the number 13 qualifier, lost to Shane Gray, who wound up going through Kramer, Bo Butner, and Greg Anderson to get to the finals. They had Bo Butner, Greg Anderson, who were teammates with Jason Lyon, Clocklin with 206.16 miles an hour. Wasn't the top speed by much. But when you're talking your rest of the competition going between, on a good run, 204 to 206 and change. So that's where that comes in. Like I said, Drew Skillman in that final round was at a coast. He was at the 19.7 seconds. 27.72 miles an hour. As we look at the championship outlooks for the NHRA, Antron Brown has it clinched. He has a 157-point lead over Steve Torrance. So there is no way, Jose, that Torrance can even make up the distance of the club. The top fuel crown was clinched. Steve Torrance with the win wound up second. Doug Kalita taking the third spot. Brittany Forrest, fourth. Fifth, Sean Langdon. J.R. Todd is sixth. Leah Pritchett, seventh. Eighth, Tony Schumacher. So we're looking at basically the only possible changes is 2 and 3. That could flip-flop. And then you have 4, 5, 6, 7. Within 34 points of each other, so that can change as well. Any combination thereof. Clay Milliken and Richie Crampton are 349 versus 354. Ninth and tenth can change as well. So ninth and tenth can change. 3 through 8 can change, 4 through 8 can change, and 2 and 3 can change. The only thing set in stone, the champion is Antron Brown again. Of course, he's not complaining. All looks good for him. Driver for Don Schumacher Racing. Of course, his teammates are Sean Langdon, Leah Pritchett, Tony Schumacher. The owner's last name is Schumacher. Kind of tells it all right there. In a funny car. Where they actually use car makes. Dodge rules the top four. Ron Capps, Matt Hagen, Tommy Johnson Jr., and Fast Jack Beckman. All Dodge teammates, whether they're on the same team or not. I mean, it's a different story. Your three Chevys is John Force, Courtney Force, and Robert Height. Like I said, they went from Ford to Chevy. Tim Wilkerson is still driving a Ford. I think it's the only car he drives, and I don't understand why. But Ford kind of basically got out of drag racing. So he's using some really old stuff. doesn't have, I wouldn't think he had factory back. And Toyota, Dell Worsham, and Alexis DeJoria, of course, their teammates. So Ryan Capps has an 86-point lead over Matt Hagan. He doesn't have it clinched yet. But one round next race will do it. Hagan, Tommy Johnson, that could flip-flop. There's only a 20 or 17-point difference there. Beckman, Force, Dell Worsham, those three can change. Beckman only has an 8-point lead over John Force, so John could climb as high as fourth, possibly third, not sure. Courtney and Robert Height are 20 points apart. Tim Wilkerson and Alexis DeJoria will probably remain 9th and 10th. In pro stock, this is probably the tightest race. And here's the thing. 7 Chevys, 3 Dodges. The Chevys are the top 7. The Dodges are the bottom 3 in the top 10. Jason Lyon is your points leader. Greg Anderson, a second 19-point difference there. One of them is going to win the championship next year, or this year, next race. We're going to clinch it. It's not done yet. Shane Gray in third. He is not close enough. If he were 20-some points back, I could say he's got a shot at it. Vincent Nobile is the highest Elite Motorsports driver, driving the 2015 championship car of Erica Enders. She made that statement last time she was on. Drew Skillman in the fifth spot, runner-up yesterday, 161 back. Bo Butner, who fell from third to sixth since the countdown began, 163 back. So there's a possible swing between fourth and sixth. Then you have Chris McGahey in 70 and Alan Johnson. There's a 30-point difference that possibly could change. But if they run like they have, it's not likely. And then ninth and tenth could change between Erica Ender Stevens and teammate Jeg Coughlin. Jeg being in the ninth spot and Erica in the 10th. She is 10 points behind Jeg, so if she goes a couple rounds and Jeg doesn't, she'll at least finish in the ninth spot. Obviously, you have to be in the top 10 to make the countdown. But only the top 15 are eligible. Then that's what happens. Oh, I never got to the pro stock motorcycle. Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick in a dead heat. There are no points separating them at all. Third place, Gerald Savoie, who took the Wally yesterday. 3 points back. Any one of those three could take home the championship Wally next race in Pomona. It comes down to that. That is the tightest group I've seen this year. Usually the pro stocks are pretty tight and the funny cars are pretty tight. But pro stock motorcycle, 3 points separate three drivers. That is really, really tight. Angel Sampei, 110 back. In fourth, Chip Ellis in fifth. He's 150 back. L.E. Tonglet is 169 back. So him and Angel, Chip, Sampei, Chip Ellis, and L.E. Tonglet, we're looking at a 50-point swing. That could change around, especially fifth and sixth. Seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. Corey Reed, Matt Smith, Hector Arana Sr., and Hector Jr. has actually been on the show. We're looking at just under 50 points separating 7th through 10th. Between 7th and 8th, and 9 points between 9th and 10th. So Hector Jr. can overtake his dad. Matt Smith can overtake Corey Reed. That's the only changes I see happening. But that doesn't mean things can't change for all four, but that's my prognostication and how I think it's going to look. So there is your NHRA championship outlook. Like I said, the only one clinched, Antron Brown. Mark it down. He's the champion. He don't even have to start next week. He could take the weekend off. And the best anybody can do would be chop. He still wound up with a 57-point win, saying Steve Torrence went all the way to the final and took home the Wally. Figures 20 points per round. So, therefore, it's pretty much said and done, except for Pro Stock. Like I said, that's the only one, and Pro Stock Motorcycle. They're the only two divisions where things change. Greg Anderson has, what, 6 or 7 championships. Jason Lyon, I'd like to see him get one. If Erica can't get it, I'd like to see one of her teammates, but if it's come down to two guys on the same team, that's just the way it goes. Pro Stock Motorcycle, two guys on the same team. The only two Harleys, they always seem to do it every year. So I'd like to see the Cajun Gerald Savoy on his Suzuki upset Vance Hines Racing's dynamic duo of Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick. So, on to Martinsville. Again, on the paperclip, Johnny Sauter took the checkered flag. Chase Elliott driving the number 71 Napa Auto Parts Valvoline Chevy took home second, get him some seat time, because he had never raced at Martinsville until this season because the Xfinity Series does not run there. It's just the Truck Series for both events as your opening act. John Hunter Nemechek took the third spot. Christopher Bell, fourth. Timothy Peters was sixth. Daniel Suarez, seventh. Eighth, William Byron. Ninth, Daniel Hemric. Austin Hill, and 10th. Travis Quapel from Make Motorsports finished 27th after starting 32nd, which basically is dead last. Johnny Sauter with the win, the Texas Roadhouse 200, presented by Alpha Energy Solutions at Martinsville. His 12th career NASCAR Camping World Trucks World's Truck Series victory prior to the start of the race. The following truck at the rear, the one in the 90, unapproved adjustments, who was Josh White in the one. That is a that's Jennifer Jo Cobb's truck. So where she was sitting out. Anyway, top 10 in points to that minute. 5 cautions for 33 laps of the 200-lap event. 6 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. Your pole sitter, believe it or not, Chase Elliott, who finished second, led two times for 109 laps. It doesn't help the points, guys, but this is winding it up down for the round of four. Johnny Sauter, a Camping World chaser, and so he locks up going into the finals. Because you have this Phoenix and this Texas and Phoenix, I think, is the last three races. They all run in the same. Let me take a quick look at the schedule. Yes, they will be running there. So these are the last three. This is the first of the elimination, just like the Cup Series. Then round two will be in Texas this coming weekend. And the third deciding chaser that will move in will be in Phoenix, wrapping up with your top four in Homestead for the win. This was Sauter's second victory and 16th top 10 finish. His third victory and 9th top 10 in 18 races at Martinsville. Chase Elliott posted his second top 10 finish in 3 races at Martinsville. That's in, I think, it's Cup Series as well. Cole Custer was your highest finishing rookie, and Johnny Sauter leads the point standings by 7 over Christopher Bell. So right now, as we're looking at it, it's William Byron, Christopher Bell, Timothy Peters, Matt Crafton, Ben Kennedy, and Johnny Sauter are your top 6. They're going to whittle that down to 4 after 3 more races. So Sauter, with the win, moves on. So they have 2 more shots to get in there. Crunch time will be do have your winner here. And that would be Johnny Sauter. Talk about taking the win in the round of 6.
Okay, if we could have your attention, please. We are now joined by our runner-up finisher, Chase Elliott, driver of the number 71 Napa Auto Parts Val Williams Chevrolet. Chase, starting from the pole today, really great races there. If you could just kind of talk us through your afternoon and how you're feeling.
Yeah, it was a really, really strong truck. I was glad we were able to run today. I hope it helps for tomorrow.
Okay,
it was obviously a little different. I think driving
these
things
are
a little bit
easier
to race tomorrow. But regardless, it was good to get some laps.
Elliott, driver of the number 71.
Try to get better at this place. This has been an absolute struggle for me. So just trying to figure out whatever it takes to go fast, and especially when it comes tomorrow, that's the most important thing. So we wish we had done something a little different there at the end to try to get by Johnny, but had to have a little respect, I feel like, for him racing for a championship and whatnot. You want to make a mistake and end his day and end his championship too. So you got to be mindful of that stuff.
There was new rules out between the Cup Series and the Chase getting involved with the races. Not of the, they're limiting the amount of Cup drivers that run in other series like the Xfinity and trucks. Simone Pagino from the IndyCar series was out the track, and he is with Team Penske, and let's see what he had to say.
Good morning, by Simon Pagino. Simon Pagino drives the number 22 Team Penske Dallara Chevrolet in the IndyCar series. He was the 2016 IndyCar series champion. And throughout the championship, Simon won 5 races and won 7 poles. It was a pretty much of a dream season for Simon. Simon's a native of France and lives in near our shop in Mooresville now. Simon, talk a little bit about your season this year.
Well, hi, everybody. Since there was a movie made with me on NASCAR, I thought I would come today. You probably recognize the accent. So, it was a great season. It was fantastic. I joined Team Penske 2 years ago, and first year was a learning curve. And second year was a dream season. We won 5 races, 7 poles, and we finally got the championship, which was my kid dream, basically. Since I was a kid, I always dreamt to be an IndyCar champion. So the fact that it's true today is amazing. Living your dream is something very special, and being able to accomplish your dream is even more of a special thing to do. So I'm very, very proud to be where I'm at today. I'm very proud to be here with you guys. This is an incredible bull ring, I guess. So I can't wait to see the race today.
There's Simon Pagenaud, Team Penske, IndyCar champion this year. It's another one in Penske's long list of IndyCar championships. Of course, he only has one NASCAR sprint car championship, and that is held by Brad Keselowski. And this year, it looks like Joey Logano is the standard bearer for Penske to try to get a second championship in the Sprint Cup Series. Of course, he has one with Keselowski in the Xfinity Series as well. Anyway, in the Cup race, the main event of the weekend, Jimmy Johnson returns to victory lane. Of course, locking in the round of 4, the final race where the top 4 guys can compete for the final Sprint Cup trophy. Next year, it's going to be something new. I can't wait for that announcement. We're going to have Miss Sprint Cup on, Madison Martin. I tried to get Juliana, but she's got another job during the day. She is also in broadcasting, so that's probably why she can't do it. Of course, she was being from my neck of the woods. She is always welcome to come on the show. Anyway, but neither here nor there. So Jimmy Johnson, he is looking to tie Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt with 7 NASCAR Sprint Cup championships. Of course, put him in elite status, which he's already in anyway with 6. But he has a shot to break that, just like Dale Earnhardt, I think, had a shot to break the 7 mark tie with Richard Petty. He did finish 2nd in the 2000 season, and of course we know what happened, the Daytona 500 in 2001, which I thought was probably going to be his year to take home that 8th championship. I guess God had other plans. He didn't want anybody cracking lucky number 7. But anyway, Jimmy Johnson's going for 8. We'll see what happens there. Brad Keselowski, who had some ground to make up because he was running behind, he was running, I guess, in the 5th spot. He had to get by Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, and Denny Hamlin because they were running 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. But he managed to do so to take home 2nd. He is not in the chase. So he couldn't get around, he couldn't get to Johnson to put a damper on a chaser's parade. Hamlin wound up 3rd, Matt Kenseth stayed in 4th, and Kyle Busch was in 5th, so they finished in the order they were running up until the end, just that Keselowski got past them all. Jeff Gordon, in his final race in the 88 car this year, I guess he's got the next couple weekends off, he finished 6th. Of course, he won this race last year to move him into the final four at Homestead for a shot at the drive for five. So, being he's not competing for points, he's still a Sprint Cup driver, and he did accrue some. But because he is earning points for the 88, but that just helps with the first couple of races of next season. Martin Truex Jr. eliminated at Talladega when his motor let go, started from the pole, wound up seventh. Thought it was going to be his year. He led six times for 147 of the 500 laps, most laps led. Another Gibbs machine in the top 10. The only one not there was Carl Edwards, who wound up finishing further down. Jamie McMurray, number 8. Joey Logano, finishing 9th, starting 2nd. And rounding out the top 10, A.J. Allmendinger. Cautions for 54 laps, which means it's a pretty clean race at Martinsville when you only have 54 laps. Only 5 cautions for 54 laps. Average speed, 78.5 miles an hour. Margin of victory, not close, 1.3 seconds. It's 1.291. I'll round it up. 15 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Top 16 in points, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Carl Edwards. Are your top 8. So they are in the competition to make it to the next round of 4. That being said, Jimmy Johnson locks it in. Denny Hamlin is and Matt Kenseth are tied in points. So, and Kyle Busch is 4th. So right now, there's your cutoff line. Joey Logano, as he sits now, is 4 points out of the top 4. So he's going to have to bump Kyle or Hamlin and Kenseth, which I think he can get one of those two. I don't know if Kyle Busch will wind up in the bottom of that heap, but I think Kenseth or Hamlin, who are tied for second now, could do that. We'll see how Logano runs when I do the Texas preview. So that's how it's looking there. And we're getting down to the end. 3 races to go. Out 2. I'm going to graduate to going from a tight half-mile paperclip to one of your one-and-a-half cookie-cutter Bruton Smith tracks. So going to a lot faster and then out to the weird shape. 1-miler at Phoenix, and then finally at Homestead, Miami. We do have our race winner, Jimmy Johnson, and this is what he had to say on getting the win. He hadn't been to Victory Lane in Martinsville in a while, so here's Jimmy. Matter of fact, with the win, Jimmy Johnson, it was his 79th victory. So he's got a chance at topping the 80 mark, which would put him at, I don't know, 6th all-time. We figure he's got a Teddy, Pearson, I think Jeff Gordon has in the 90s. Then you have, I think, Darrell Waltrip. So he's right behind Darrell Waltrip, I think. Anyway, it's his 4th victory in 15 top 10 this year, 9th at Martinsville. So that's Jimmy's Martinsville thing. I think the only race track that he has more wins at is Dover. But he's catching that. So here's Jimmy Johnson talking about picking the win up and moving on to the final 4.
And driver of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet and crew chief Chad Canell. This is the fourth victory and 15th top 10 finish in 2016 for the team, and they will now advance to the championship four. So, gentlemen, congratulations, and just talk us through your race this afternoon.
Thank you. Just honestly, an amazing way to finish the day, and get a win here to get our ninth block to win in Martinsville in the fall. And the Hendrick Motorsports side is a very meaningful victory for us. So a lot of emotions are all coming together, and obviously the bright spot and the shiny spot in all this is that we've got a shot at a championship. So we're fired up and ready to go. I'm very, very excited for the next couple of weeks, and certainly ready to go to Homestead and race for this thing.
Chad, if you could also share your comments as well, how you're feeling heading into Texas after today's win.
Yeah, extremely excited, obviously, too. We were really pumped up to come in here with the 4888 shop and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports. We had an opportunity after winning when we did in Charlotte to really focus on this race, to come in here with the best product we possibly could, and it was good. You know, we established ourselves as, I think, a contender early, running in the top 10, and then we had some problems, and Jimmy did an amazing job being able to go out there and navigate back up through the field and get back up towards the front. And then we caught a timely caution and made some good adjustments on the race car, and Jimmy did awesome early on in that that last stint, and was able to get the lead and go out there and do what we did. So it was a great, great day. A lot of fun. We really enjoyed it.
There is Jimmy Johnson and crew chief Chad Knaus on their win. Well, it all comes down this coming week. We're going to the Texas Motor Speedway, and they had the race earlier there this season, actually the seventh race of the season, under the lights for the Duck Commander 500. Kyle Busch took the checkered flag. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was second. Joey Logano did finish third. So here's Logano. I wanted to pencil in a spot where he can probably take the win to move on. I picked Kyle for this past weekend, so I'm not going to pick him again, even though he took the win. Martin Truex led the most laps in this race this year. He's been doing pretty good, so you can't count him out. And Edwards led, Truex led 141, Edwards led 124. So they were your two biggest lap leaders, both Joe Gibbs-powered Toyotas, Truex with Furniture Row, and Edwards with, of course, Joe Gibbs Racing. Joe Gibbs Racing built all the Toyota motors, and Truex, I mean, he fell a little short thanks to Talladega. While leading the race, his motor let go. I mean, how bad does that have to be when you have a shot to move into the next round on points or win and your motor lets go? So it's kind of bumming. Anyway, who am I looking at this week? Well, you can't count Kyle Busch out, but he hasn't, I don't know. If I don't pick him, he'll probably win, but I'm kind of leaning toward Joey Logano this time. This race last season, I didn't even bring up last season. Let me go see if I can find that. It was Jimmy Johnson who won this race last season, but Brad Keselowski led the most laps. So that put Johnson in again to the, I think he was eliminated by then, that's right. Dover took him out. It was Gordon, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Truex, I think, in the round of eight. So it was, this one didn't help. Logano actually was eliminated in Martinsville last year because he won three in a row to sweep the round of 12. But Ken's just had it out for him after he eliminated Logano. So where did Joey finish this one last year? Ooh, 40th. Had some issues. So this year I think it's going to be, I don't know, I'll have to go with Joey. He's run good this year. He didn't lead a lap at all. I said, or Martin Truex could win. There could be a spoiler here. You figure, but I'm going to stick with Joey Logano for this coming week at Texas. Anyway, I'd like to thank you all for joining me this week. As the racing season winds down, NHRA, of course, their last race of the season coming up. This coming weekend in Pomona. So they'll be done. Then the only thing I'll have left to do to talk about is NASCAR. Three to go. Well, two to go as of next week. So I'll give you the final championships. Wrap up there, and we'll touch on the Sprint Cup winner who moves on. Like I said, next week I have the one and only Doreen Taylor, singer-songwriter Doreen Taylor, joining me. Like I said, I like to mix it up a little bit. So, hope you all enjoyed today's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week, my friends. We'll keep those engines running. And search for that checkered flag. Bye now.